We are back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and today we have some guests here from both the Manhattan Fire Department and Pottawatomie County. From the Fire Department, Building Official Darren Emery joins us. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Brandon. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, good to talk to you again. And Stephen Metzger is here as well. He's the Pottawatomie County Planner. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Brandon.
And the reason we have the two of them on, if you're kind of wondering what they're going to be talking about, well, we're going to talk about construction going on in Blue Township and some of the permits going on out there. And boy, there's a lot of development. We just talked about one of the major ones, and that's Oliver Brown Elementary getting ready to open up here. That's pretty much almost completed, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in Blue Township.
Yeah, there certainly is. As I recall, we just did our final inspection on that Oliver Brown Elementary just a day or so ago, and that went really well. That project developed in a great fashion, and there's a lot of single-family homes being built out in the Blue Township. And, you know, this is our second year for the city of Manhattan being involved with doing permits and inspections out there, and we have seen on our end the pace pick up dramatically. And now that we're, 18 months into that process, I feel like we've really got our feet under us and we know how things are going out there. And it's going really well. We're issuing a lot of permits and doing a lot of inspections.
I would say this is, last year we kind of got to ease into it a little bit. This year is kind of it's a very real year for how development has typically gone in the past. And so I think there's been some kinks for sure, just trying to coordinate between three really departments plus the applicant. And I think we're finally starting to get all that stuff worked out, like Darren said. So it's been exciting.
What are the most noticeable changes that contractors are finding when they have to go get a permit here in Blue Township?
Well, Darren, if you don't mind, I was just going to say that before we had codes, it would take me all of about 10 minutes to issue a building permit. And then they could get started basically the day of. So I think the biggest change for sure is just that time delay, and making sure that they go through all the things that is required of them now that we have, formally adopted building codes in this area. So to me, that from a contractor perspective, I think that's probably been the biggest shift, is just that you can't anymore come in the day you're wanting to dig a basement and get a building permit. So
I would agree with that. I think we get more questions about our plan review process and, how long is it going to take to get a permit? What questions do I need to answer? Or we have a fairly involved plan review process, but I tell contractors as I talk to them, it is so much easier to solve problems on paper before the permit's issued than have to redo something in the field. So that has probably been a bit of a change for them. And just getting used to scheduling inspections, scheduling them a bit in advance so that we can get out there and get the inspections done in a timely fashion. But I think for the most part, the vast majority of contractors that work in the Blue Township area previously worked in the city of Manhattan, not all of them, but a good portion of them. So they were to some degree used to working with the city of Manhattan process.
All right. Well, has construction slowed down any because of the pandemic, or have we seen it kind of booming more?
The one thing I've said many times over the last 18 months is I believe we're really fortunate to be in the construction industry. Those of us at Risk Reduction and the contractors in this area, I don't feel like it's slowed down at all. I feel like actually it's accelerated. We are busier than I can ever remember being in roughly 25 years with the city of Manhattan.
Wow. And why is that? Because we're seeing the price of lumber go up. We're seeing, other things going up in price, and yet this tends to be not following the pattern you would think.
Well, I think, we're really fortunate in Manhattan and in the Flint Hills region that we are, for a number of economic reasons, somewhat protected. Our ups and downs are not near as high as the rest of the country. We have a strong real estate industry. It continues to go. And the contractors have found ways to work with that rising cost of lumber. And I think we've also got a lot of homeowners that have been putting off projects for years, and perhaps they have a little extra money in their pocket or a little extra time on their hands because maybe they're at home more. We've seen so many decks and basement remodels and renovations and additions. That's a big part of what's keeping us busy.
Yeah, I would echo exactly what Darren said. I think the combination of you have this whole mess of people who have rented for so long or have put, like Darren said, put off projects that over the last year, you know, through the stimulus money, through the tax changes, through all these things, they've got maybe that little extra bit of money that put them over the edge of being able to afford that down payment on whatever project they're doing. And they're pulling the trigger. They're doing the thing that they've wanted to do for years. And they're all doing it all at the same time. So at the same time that we have supply issues. And so you have this kind of almost perfect storm of supply issues and demand surges that have just created something I've never seen before. But I haven't been in it nearly as long as Darren has or anybody else in that office. So.
Yeah. Well, and with supply chain issues, what are some of the more common things people are finding shortages on?
Stephen, you mind if I speak into that?
Please.
The thing that we have heard more often than not is OSB, sheet goods. The price just skyrocketed a while back, and that's a primary building feature for the exterior, let's say, skin of the home, and it's the feature that really resists the wind load. And so contractors have had to find different ways to build to still comply with the braced wall panel requirements. And that means we've had to find different ways to advise them and guide them and do inspections. So it's been a pretty steep learning curve. But that's the one that comes to mind for me. OSB is just tremendously expensive, and it's a major component of home construction.
Hmm. Okay. Well, and I'm no expert at construction here, but what are, if somebody is wanting to build a new home, what's kind of the first step in the process here of getting in touch with your department, Darren?
Well, yeah, that'd be the first step. They can certainly go online and apply for that building permit. But before that, if they have questions, they can just call and talk to one of our plans examiners. We have a commercial and a residential plans examiner. And a big part of what they do is answer questions about our process. How do we do this? What do you need to receive? How do I apply? We get those questions all the time, and we're more than happy to answer them. And that sometimes really smooths things out so that they know what the process looks like going in.
Stephen, I know in covering Pottawatomie County, a lot of times we hear about, I can't remember the exact term, but those metal buildings, they kind of look like houses and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what the exact term is.
We call them chouses, but chouses. I think, you know, there are all kinds of stuff people call them. Yeah. Yep.
What is the sort of, I guess, legal requirements that people have to, because it seems like a number of those are popping up in Pottawatomie County.
Yeah. So in Blue Township, where the codes are in effect, a lot of times an individual subdivision's covenants won't allow those because of the building material. But out in the county, if you want to do a chouse, really, it's no. We don't treat it any different than a regular stick-built house. A lot of times, what people will do is they'll build a chouse for a few years and then build their dream home, you know, 5 or 6 years down the road. And we always caution them, okay, if you're going to do that and you want to keep this living space within that shop, you know, it's got to be within what we call our accessory dwelling unit requirements so that they can keep it afterward. But we try to be as accommodating as we can to however somebody wants to try and live in a location, because land is really expensive. And if, you know, you're dropping all kinds of money on land and you don't have enough for a house, we still want to try and work with you to find a way for you to live out there. So we're pretty accommodating, or we try to be anyway.
All right. I've got a caller here standing by. Has got a question or a comment, so we're going to get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you so much for all your efforts. After 50 years in the building trade, I wanted to tell you I'm approve of all the little changes that people don't realize in the stick-built frame houses. Just going from the round washers on the base plate to the square washers and doing away with the redhead drive-ins and using the embedded bolts in the concrete, and up on top with your OSB you talked about using the strap down. Just $30 worth of strap down can hold that in place in the wind, and of course the strap downs for the trusses. But last week, watching the storm damage from all the little tornadoes they had across Minnesota and Indiana, you could see the difference in contractors. One side of the street and one style of house would lose a couple of tiles, and the other side of the street, the roofs were all gone and the buildings were falling apart. Such a difference. Thank you for all your efforts.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.
All right. Yeah, thanks for the call. We've got just a couple minutes here left. Is there anything we haven't touched on you want to make sure to get out there to the public?
I have one item that I certainly want to get out. This is the first year that our general contractors have been required to renew their license with continuing education units. And that's, I mean, the end of the year will be here before you know it. And I get that question quite a bit. So this year, general contractors, electrical contractors, and sign contractors, as well as electricians, masters in journey, will be renewing. And I would just encourage everyone to watch the risk reduction website. We're going to do our best to announce as many opportunities for continuing education classes. We know that it's sometimes hard to find those classes. We're going to do as much as we can to provide those hours, as many of those hours as possible.
All right. Stephen, anything else from you?
I think I say this the same every time I'm on here, but it, you know, if we try to put as much information as we can on the website. But if you've got questions, please, 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 please call or email our office. Like Darren said at the beginning, it's so much easier to try and work things out ahead of time than try to figure something out on the fly because we didn't know that this was going to come up. So if you got questions about, do I need a permit for this? What kind of permit? Please, you won't inconvenience me at all if you give me a call or drop me an email ahead of time.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Stephen Metzger, Darren Emery from the Fire Department and Pod County, we appreciate you guys both joining us here this morning, and we'll talk again sometime down the road, I'm sure.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, that's going to wrap up our segment number three. We'll get to Debbie Nuss here and talk about the upcoming Everybody Counts event this weekend. That's next on News Radio KMAN.